Those songs, now let us get our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus. This morning, we receive revelation that is found in Christ alone. This morning, there is no error, there is no contradiction in this atmosphere. We have clarity and precision by your Spirit. Together as a church, we behold Him as He sees us in Him. He's glorified, and we are edified. Amen. Alright, this morning we want to look at how to behave in church, or how to be in church, or how to go to church. They're all together, alright. I'm a firm believer in the fact that everything about a Christian life ought to be explained. The Christian life is built on knowledge. It's a knowledge faith. You've got to know what it means from the Word of God. The scriptures aren't given to us just to pick and choose what to do. Scriptures are given to us to know what to do in all ramifications of the faith life. And so we want to look at how to go to church. How to go to a church service. And how to be in the church service. It looks simple, but it's not. In the sense of, a lot of people may not understand how this is done. Now, in Matthew's Gospel 28, the very last instructions captured by Matthew that Jesus gave, He came and spake unto them in verse 18. All power or authority, actually the Greek is exousia, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. King James says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or end of the age. And so, the key thing is verse 19. It says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. It says, go therefore and make disciples. The word there is mathetes. M-A-T-H-E-T-S. It's from a word, M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O, from the word mathetes. M-A-T-H-E-T-S, which is where you have student, or training, or enrolled to be trained. Now, that word is not a spiritual term. It's a term used for different disciplines. It's not a spiritual word. It's not like a word that came down from heaven. It's a word used by people in different spheres of life. For example, when you are an intern, all right, or you're a student, you are supposed to be under instructions. You're supposed to be learning what the profession is and learning how to go about it. A couple of things will be said to you. I remember being in the law school, and we were told even how to eat. And I'm wondering, I saw everybody across the room. Some of them, in fact, one of my classmates was a vice chancellor, retired vice chancellor. There was one of my classmates that was a governor. And I'm wondering, you are teaching them how to eat dinner. And they said, you have to hold this one like this, hold that one like this. He said, as soon as the chairman of the body of benchers comes up, you get up. Ah. I'm thinking, we should all know that when you're on an occasion and the special guest comes in you, but you see, that's an assumption. And so they taught us where to put the glass, it was a class. How many of you went to law school? The Christians, true Christians. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. I felt, but that's what it is. Training. No assumptions. No assumptions. You know, and no doubt, because it's the same discipline and the same career, you'll expect everyone to act the same way. You don't go to a medical doctor and then you say, well, I've been having these pains here, and now I say, I suspect diarrhea. And then you go to another one, he says, no. What I see is that you are pregnant. He's talking to a man. The other one comes up and says, what I sense is migraine headaches. You know, somebody has to be crazy, or all of them are crazy. You know, because if it's the same discipline, they must all what? Give the same opinion, because they must be reading from the same books and using the same kind of equipment and the kind of knowledge. So the same way when it comes to discipleship, you learn the same things. You learn the same things. Hallelujah. So mathetes is learning to become. Learning to become. Mathetes is the learner. Learner is learning, or she's learning. Making disciples. That is causing men to learn. Now, there's a process to that, and there's a practice to that. For example, look at the parables that Jesus himself gave in Matthew's Gospel 13. And then he talks about the scribe. Look at what it says in verse 52. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of God is like unto a man that is an householder that brings forth of his treasures things new and whole. Instructed into. That word instructed into there is where you have mathetuo, who is raised into, who is brought up, who is educated into. Then you have somebody else, who is, I want you to observe the word instructed into. That means they were scribes, they were now instructed into. Now, in Matthew's Gospel 27, we have another person, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now, the word, well, Joseph's disciple, there is the word mathetuo, not mathetes, which means he himself, he's a rich man, alright, and he's a ruler of the Jews, from some other accounts. But observe what he's saying. It means that you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be a politician, you could be a farmer, you could be a seller, you could be whatever, but that's not the discipleship. So, they were scribes instructed into. He's a rich man, a ruler of the Jews, instructed into, which means discipleship is a different sphere of influence entirely. That is, you're a practicing pharmacist or a practicing businessman converted into a learner, which means you put away the old things. That's not part of the discipleship. You learn new things. You are brought up in a different way. In a different way. Some people believe that your career, alright, is God's calling upon your life. That's very inaccurate. Now, your career can be a tool to practice God's calling upon our lives. But something done by non-believers cannot be supernatural. It's done by non-believers. In fact, many times it's done better by non-believers. So that's not it. So this is discipleship. You are learning something new, which you didn't get in school. You are learning something new, which you can't get in business schools. You can't get in books of technology, science, or commerce. No, this is the faith. The lordship of Christianity is not the lordship of the world. And the basis of Christianity is very different. So, you need to realize that. So, here, they became disciples. They were now instructed into discipleship. In Acts 14:21, the same thing he said in the church. He says, Paul, and Barnabas, they taught many. Acts 14:21. Paul and Barnabas. He says they taught many. When they had preached the gospel to the city, they had taught many. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium, and he says to Antioch. That is, they had brought up many. Caused people to learn. To learn. And learn of the faith. Now, what does it mean to learn? What does it mean to be a disciple? I want you to observe a couple of things. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Then we'll now go to the book of Acts. I want to show you a sequence somewhere in the book of Acts. A sequence. Now, in the book of Acts, put your hands in Luke's Gospel 10. Let's go to the book of Acts very quickly. In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, you know, there was an initial 120 people that gathered together. And according to Luke's account, in Acts 2, 1 to 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. So Peter got up and began to preach, which he did, from verse 15, Acts 1. Verse 14, pardon me. And he preached the gospel. And so a decision was to be made. Because when you preach the gospel, there are these two decisions are made. To believe or not to believe. Alright? So, a decision was made and they asked him in verse 37. What shall we do? You know? Now, understand narratives of book of Acts. It's not like, I mean, if you have preached the gospel before, which you should do, you have believed you do every now and then. I don't think if you preach to five people, they all respond the same way. Brother, what shall we do? What shall we do? It means that Luke summarized the questions they asked. They almost have said, sir, so, what do I do? Another one said, sir, I want to believe. What do I do? Maybe another said, sir, I need Jesus. You know, and then Luke put it all together that there was a question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? It was not like a chorus answer, but as a summarized, because if he's going to write what everybody said, 3,000 people, the whole book of Acts will take it. Just one evangelism. You understand? So, that's the way to write. You summarize what everyone said. You learning something? Alright, look at this. So, he says, repent. Verse 38. And be baptized in one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and your children to all that are far from as many as the Lord God shall call. Now, I want us to read verse 40. Together and verse 41. Let's go. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. 41. They had gathered, received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added about 3,000 souls. So they received the word that he preached. In other words, they believed. So, now, if you observe, because of what they had done, verse 44 now calls them, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. That's what he called them. All that believe. Believe what again? Believe the gospel. All that believed. Now, in chapter 4, again, the gospel was preached. Alright, chapter 4. Verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And number of men was about 5,000. Notice that believing is because of the gospel. Believing is not because of appearance. People can show up in a place and be there when the message is preached, but they haven't believed. I've seen people attend crusades. A friend of mine, a classmate of mine in university, they had this crusade, and then a prominent preacher in Nigeria was coming. He said, I'm going. I was initially glad that, wow, this fellow wants to go and hear. He said, I just want to go and move close to that man of God. That's what he said. He was very honest. He said, I know if I go close to him, I'll receive miracles. So as soon as they gave the altar call, he didn't even hear the message. He didn't even know what was preached. But he had made up his mind what he was going to do. So as soon as they gave the altar call, He ran forward. Now, if you were the evangelist of that day, you would have thought, see conviction. See conviction. How God is moving. He ran. And I was told, it was one of the first people who lined up in front. He wasn't believing anything. He just lined up in front. And they must have said, say after me. Maybe it's to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, come and do it, take away my sin, I don't want to go to hell. And as he's saying that, he's looking at the man of God believing the miracle. You can even make him say, you want to speak in tongues? Yeah. Oh yeah. And he's not a believer. Because to be a believer, he must have what? Received the word. What is the word? The word is not every sermon. It's not every sermon that brings salvation. I have heard sermons before that inspired me. Inspired me, not about Christ. You can be somebody. You can be somebody. God can take you from the backside to the front side. He can turn your mess to a message. And I'm inspired. I'm looking at my mess. I'm looking at my football club. It's about a ton. You know, we're in for it this month. Chelsea people. This is the decider. There's no better decider than now. And God is faithful. I just said God is faithful. But you know, there are people like that, they will just rush out. Have you heard some people say, if you want a turnaround in your life, if you're a Nigerian, turnaround is even small. You want a turnover. And you now preach this, the kind of message you want to hear as a Nigerian. Turnaround! You're bigger than your background. Oh yes. Look at your village. You say, the height of your parents is your first step. Those sermons can shake anybody. Even a Muslim will say, tell them. Do you understand? So, he rushed out and he was not born again. That is why be particular about what you say. Don't preach to make people happy or make them sad. You see somebody smoking India hemp and he has a stripper. Know what a stripper is? You should know. Because you're a Christian. The Holy Ghost writes fornicators, effeminate. Yeah? They are not spiritual terms. So the stripper is sitting on his leg and he has marijuana. And he takes very, very, you know, there's some very hot drinks. Even the bottle is hot. And he says, you know, you can be angry. And I say, listen to me. Say, yes. You can be thinking that you are enjoying life. So you too, you know. Yeah, you can enjoy life. Let me tell you something. This is how I preach a sermon one day. Not a sermon, sorry, it's evangelism. Before you misquote me. I saw someone smoking. I said, you are doing a rehearsal for a fire. The fire on your cigarette is Satan. The guy looked at me one kind. I just continue smoking, nonsense. Then ask me a question. How do you know you will not go to FIR? I said, at least my own case is better. I'm striving to not go. You are burning to be there. We're now fighting. In evangelism. Two sinners. That's what it is. So really, you'll be particular. You can be angry.
Let me tell you. You younger. Look at you. You are wasting your life.
That's a moral instruction. You are not guardian counselor. Preach the gospel of Christ.
Do you observe that even though the apostles will preach to thousands, it will be the same message. Everyone in that audience can't have the same social status. They can't have the same thing. But the same message cuts across everybody. So the moment you see someone just wants to excite the audience. I remember some guys did one drama. And that drama was serious. They called it Rumble in the Temple. And it was rumbling. They practicalized an X-rated scene in the church drama. That a brother almost confessed, actually he did, that he was aroused. And so, they were practicalizing, they were trying to act Campos Aristo. You know what Aristo is? It's not a Greek word. So they now showed the almost graphic. How did they even get to that point? They now said, if you are here, and your life is like what we just showed, come out. Of course, different kinds of reactions will come. Don't you react when you watch movies? There's one movie like that. I don't know whether I've seen it before. Champ. Have you seen it before? The Champ. Who has watched The Champ before? Champ. One small boy, his dad was a boxer. And then the dad eventually won, then died. You've seen it before. I don't know whether you're like me. There's a scene like that. If you watch it 5 times, you'll feel the same way. Wake up, champ. Let's go home. Before you know it, you start crying. They are acting. They are not crying really. You. Oh. You go, oh. Oh. You know? I mean, there was I used to watch The Battleground. That's Nigeria. There was one scene. Ah. I was moved. I got up from my chair and I looked at it. Something that was acted, that I'm sure they said, do it again. Do it in the. And I'm saying, Now, you know, a sermon can be like that. Just to drive emotions. But it's not the message of the gospel. People can cry, and it's for the wrong reasons. They can shout, it's for the wrong reasons. How do you know what they have reacted to is the right thing? You teach the right thing. Romans 10:17. Faith is by the hearing of the gospel of Christ. You learning something? Glory to God. There could be joy. There could be tears. It can be for different reasons. But you see, you focus on what was said. Alright, good. That's a free one there. So, those that believe, what did they believe? Acts 4:4. They believed the word. 5,000. They believed the message. What's the message? Christ preached from the scriptures. Now, in Acts 5, okay, Acts 4 first. Let's see Acts 4. Verse 23. And they let go. This was when Peter and John were arrested. And they went to their own company. Their own people. Alright? Acts 4. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. That believed. That's what they called them. Those who believed. Acts 5. Verse 14. The believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes both of men and women. So far, we are yet to see what Jesus said, go make disciples. What we're seeing here is the Mark's account, he that believes. Mark 16:15. But we're yet to see that phrase, make disciples. Now, in Acts 6, verse 1, in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, disciples. That's the phrase used in here. Disciples. Who is a disciple again? Those who are learning. Those who are learning. Those who are learning the word. Now, in chapter 8, in verse 2, he calls them devout men. Devout men. Devout men. In chapter 9, verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Chapter 9 and verse 10. Chapter 9 again, verse 19. Then was Saul 7 days with the disciples who were at Damascus. They are called disciples. Disciples. So you've seen a word has been added. Verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he had said to join himself with the disciples. With the disciples. And you can just read on and on and all that. So a new word was now introduced, and that's the phrase disciples. You can go to Acts chapter 11 as well. You see that Acts 11 verse 29. So the whole church was now called disciples. Why were they now called disciples? Because they were now being trained. So, the process is you believe the gospel, you're saved, you have the Spirit of God, you're God's children, or you're God's son, then you are now being taught and trained. So the question you should ask yourself is, am I being trained? Am I being taught? Am I being trained? Am I being groomed? That's the question you should ask yourself. Because obviously it means, or it meant in the book of Acts, that they believed as they were hearing the word more often and regularly, they were now being groomed. Groomed for what? Groomed for medicine? Groomed for commerce? Groomed for trade? Groomed for IT? No. Groomed for the ministry of Christ. The life and the ministry of Christ. And they were not groomed with materials or books from the world. They were groomed with the scriptures. So, that's vital to see that. A disciple is a student. So, are you a student? Are you a student of the word? Are you a student of Christ? Are you a student of the gospel? Very important question. Now, let's proceed a bit further. In Matthew 28, again, let's just show, it says, go and make disciples. So I ask you to look at Luke 10. Discipleship or learning is not assumed. It is obvious. It's not assumed. It's an obvious fact. Luke's Gospel 10. You know the story? Jesus was in the house of Martha and Mary. And Martha precisely because she was the other one. And in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Look at the word, which also. You know, people heard Jesus. The Pharisees heard him preach. There were thousands who heard him preach. There were, you know, different crowds saw him preach. In fact, in the wilderness, when he took them to
hear him preach. They said they had 3,000 men minus the women. But that wasn't used as sat at his feet. People can come around and just hear. And be good. And say, well, it was a good time I had in church today. I remember somebody was doing after church. They do this after church interview. How was the service? Wow. Off the hook. Huh. From the worship to the sermon just, oh my God, oh Jesus Christ. Ah! Then I like the way they treat first timers here. You know, they gave us Anakin, sorry, they gave us Coke. You know, I was so blessed. Man, this is joy! You know, that's okay, you know, we always have that, you know. But these people who came to Jesus' meetings, they were even healed. They were healed in their bodies. But that phrase, sat at his feet, was never used for them. Because only disciples sit at the feet. The word she also, which meant others were. Who are the others? The others were the apostles, the other disciples. Sat at his feet. I told you, it doesn't mean that Jesus sat in the middle, she now sat at his leg. Darling Jesus, oh my darling Jesus, you are a wonderful Lord. No. She probably sat a few meters away. She probably even stood up. But Luke captured it to mean she was learning what the apostles were learning. And you go read the four gospels. The apostles didn't speak much. Because when you are being trained, you don't talk much. They didn't speak. They spoke. They said many things that Jesus corrected. But Jesus did majority of the speaking. Now follow this. So she sat at his feet. It's different from coming to service, having a great time, woo! And then dashing out, pam, pam, gone. Okay. She sat at his feet. People assume what Jesus didn't say. And I also did. Now, Martha was in the kitchen. Now, I'm going to talk about that in the second service more. And then, she just went, Mary! You know, if you're a Yoruba person, and you're watching a movie, and you're going to do that particular scene, you wanted to watch, your mom calls her, and she calls you, she'll do! You'll be, oh! Have you done that kind of agalio before? An agalio of sadness. Just go. Sir, what are you doing? Nothing. Simple denial. No. See, my leg was just... If my mother grabs you, you become a new creature. Don't try it. You know, she said, Mary! She's wondering, why is she not joining? I don't think that it was impossible for Martha, to hear Jesus' words. That wasn't the point. She said, in verse 40, Martha was cumbered with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, some sense of bitterness is here somehow. I don't want to totally assume. But then in her prayers, Lord, does thou not care that my sister had led me to serve alone? Be that therefore that she helps me. Then Jesus answered and said, Martha, if Jesus calls your name twice, pay attention or change the name. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen the good part. One thing is needful. Mary had chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What's the good part? To be trained. You can hear the message. I am not being trained. She has taken the good part. It's not saying Mary is hearing the sermons. No. She sat at his feet. Which doesn't mean, now I want you to observe something. Luke is not writing about that day alone. Because sitting at his feet is not an action. It's a lifelong process. That's why he said, which also. Now, look at Acts 2:3. 22 verse 3, pardon me. Paul gives us, we have a teaching on that at the apostles' feet. You can lay your hands on it. It explains this in more detail. Acts 22 verse 3. Now, Paul is describing his trajectory, what you call the way he became where he was today, his life history. Then he says, in verse 3, Acts 22. I'm verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicilia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught. Brought up. So, what does it mean that he was brought up at his feet? He was found going to his house. He was found learning from him. He was found listening to his teaching materials. He was found taking instructions from him. He was found following him, maybe. He was found being at his meetings. And he was found doing the things that Gamaliel instructed. And that's exactly what Mary was. It wasn't a one-off thing. She also, which meant that when you saw the apostles take instructions from Jesus, she was part of them. She's learning. Now, this phrase, sitting at his feet, is for discipleship. To be trained. To be trained. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. He says, the things you have learned of me, among many witnesses, commit unto faithful men. Now, I will ask you, were there not thousands who were hearing Paul? There were. But he said, you know what you have learned. He told Timothy, he said, you have learned not just my motive, my purpose. He said, you have learned my manner of life. You have learned the doctrine. So, being a fan of the word, I love, you know, someone told me one day, she said, I just love E.W. Kenyon. She had read E.W. Kenyon before I got born again. She said, in fact, in 1984, I read from Kenyon books. In 1987, I did this one. She was saying all of that. She described the story to us. She said, man, as soon as I read all his books and I got what he was saying. I caught it in my spirit. I moved to so and so person. He mentioned the name of the man of God who was on the other side of the road of Kenyon. Eventually, she now moved to a church. Now, of course, because she got married to someone who went to a church where they didn't believe in speaking in tongues or the charismatic gifts. She moved in there, and she's still there. And she no longer speaks in tongues. Was she ever sitting at the feet of the Word? No. No, she wasn't. She just was excited. How would you read E.W. Kenyon and not go regularly for evangelism? And not work miracles? And not use your thoughts in the name of Jesus? And not love the study of the word? How would you? How would you read E.W. Kenyon? And then the next person you listen to
was the exact opposite of what E.W. Kenyon taught. That means you were never sitting at the feet. James mentioned two kinds of people in James 1. In 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of light, with those variableness, neither the shadow of turning of his own will be guiding us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of fulfillment of his creatures. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, shall be slow to speak, slow to swift to hear, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of God. He says, therefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, James 1:21, which is able to save the soul. Then he says in 22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now there are two words in there. One of them is the word poiho, or the other one from the word poiho. The other one is the word akrotis. An akrotis, which is a hearer of the word, is similar to someone who goes to watch movies in the theater. Goes to watch movies in the theater. And just gets excited. Oh, just like I said, you're watching a movie and you're crying. And just gets excited. Wow! My God. See, and you're just excited. Hearer only. Excited. You go, oh my God. And you love the word. But when it's time to act on the word, you drift back. So, here we are. We have those who sit at his feet. Or sit at the feet. What it means is, they submit themselves to be trained. Remember, we saw a rich man, right? Come on. Uh-huh. So, he has not decided, say, well, can I come and, I've done that when I was younger, but right now, you know, I'm the chairman, managing director, chief executive officer of, so and so holdings. We are holding all the world money in the world. So I can't, I'll be in your church for a few minutes, then I'll leave, you know. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can be anything. You can be whatever. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be influential, non-influential. Discipleship transforms you. Discipleship does not pay attention to your social status. At all. I had a friend who came here who was a judge. And he said, I'm coming to your church. He kept saying, I'm coming to your church. I said, no problem. I'm coming to your church. I said, no problem. I said, no, what should I do? Red carpet? I don't know how to do that. So he came. And then he came and greeted me. We were at 378 about Macaulay then. Then he came, I greeted him fine, bless you. So as I was greeting him and treated him with respect because he's a judge, you have to be careful. So I treated him well, but some other guys that came and I greeted them equally. Said, how do you do it here? You know, I said, well, you join the membership class. That's all. Okay. I said, bye-bye. Say bye-bye. That's it. You get it? You see, you're a judge in your court. Here, you're a believer. Who should be discipled? Even if you are Father Abraham in reincarnation, you will still do what disciples do. That is why, observe. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, obviously an influential man. Most of Jesus' disciples at this point were teenagers, some of them in their early 20s, and they are the ones put over the assemblies. And the brethren followed their instructions. They were teenagers, or young boys. They were young people. So it had nothing to do with your social status or your age. No. Timothy had elders who were very old in the church he pastored. The Paul gave him instructions about the elders. The elders went to instruct him. They were to listen to him. So, in discipleship, it's not a status thing. That's why I think it's odd.
to put people together and say, businessmen fellowship.
I won't do that.
Someone said, well, it's because, someone told me, said, some things you are doing is because maybe you are young. I said, I almost said, you should get sense. Do you know the year I've been pastoring? You don't know. You're assuming. Next time, I will wear the year on my shirt. So you see it.
That's not the point. The point is not when you started or the number of people in your church. It's the word. That's nothing to do with how many years you've been pastoring.
No.
Paul gave instructions to the entire church. He said, charge them that are rich. He didn't say the rich church. In fact, a particular church in Revelation 3 that said they were rich and needed nothing, Jesus rebuked them for saying that. You don't classify churches by social status or wealth. That's absolutely preposterous.
So you see, in discipleship, you sit at the feet. It's different from coming to be hearing God's word.
I know some of you are listening to me right now. I know I'm talking to you. You come, and that's all you do. You just come and hear the word. That's all you do. That's not responsible Christianity. Are you sitting at his feet? Are you being trained and taught?
Said, commit to faithful men. Now, obviously, from the instructions that Jesus gave in Matthew's Gospel 28 and 19, you cannot have discipleship without meetings, without gatherings. So, in Matthew 16, let's see something very quickly.
Is it wrong to have businessmen fellowship? I never said so. But I won't have it because I don't see a reason for it. That's what I'm saying. Is it wrong to have women fellowship? No. Because there are women in the church. They should fellowship. But I don't have to have that. Because there's no women scripture. There's no women text. It's all written for all to read. Sometimes, the man needs to read what Paul said about the women because he's going to be discipled to train women. So that's why all the information are available for everybody. Remember years back, I taught somewhere, and then the pastor said, the things you are teaching are too much. I said, why? He said, if you teach them everything, these things you are teaching are very deep. If you teach them everything, then what is not left for me to preach? I said, I don't understand. He said, then why would they be coming back to me if you can teach them all of this? I said, sir, of course I won't give that kind of answer today, but this is what I said. I said, sir, is there any thou shall not read in the entire Bible? He said, no. I said, when you bought your Bible, was there a place glued not to be read till you are so and so? He said, no. He said, so I'm sorry. If they don't come back to you, that means you don't have what it takes to offer. You don't have what it takes. Because why would you use ignorance to be people's leaders? That's wrong. Of course, he didn't invite me again. In those days, I used to have, if I have 10 invitations, I usually get re-invited once. Just once. And that once could just be, let's hear you again. Not that they are so glad. Let's hear you again. You know, I've had times I preached and they told me that, sorry, you can't take the next session. I said, why? Let's deal with the first things you said. I said, but let me finish it. No. You want to seize our pulpit by force? Oh my word. Where were we now? Matthew 16. You learning something here? I know, because you were quiet. That's good.
And so he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Verse 17, you know the story. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father is in heaven. I see unto thou, Peter. Verse 18, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Now, use the term church here, ecclesia, two words, lalio and ek, to call out, to call out, to call out. Kalio, sorry, and ek, to call out. That is, those who are called out of darkness into light are called the church. So here, he uses church for those who are saved. I'll build my church. Those who are saved, those who are delivered from the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. Those who are redeemed, Galatians 3:13. From the curse of the law. Those who have received the spirit of adoption. Alright, Romans 8:15. So he calls these ones the church. But in two chapters afterwards, he uses the term church, because the word church is from an old Hebrew word, hoalal, which means those who were called out of Egypt, alright, and the assembly of the Jews called out of Egypt. So Moses used that for that calling out of Egypt. He also used it for their coming together, when he says they shall come together, celebrate feasts, and take instructions. So Jesus uses these same words in the word ecclesia. In chapter 18, therefore, verse 15, he talks about if a brother and yourself, if a brother has a trespass against you, it is a fault between you and him alone, you shall go to him and then tell it. If he hears you, he says you've gained your brother. He says if you don't hear, you take two or three. No matter two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, I want you to observe that he didn't call the two or three the church, even though they are brethren. I've seen people ridiculously say, forget all these denominations. Denominations! Anywhere, we are two believers, whether we're on telephone, we say we are church. When we are browsing, we are church. When we are sleeping, we go, we are church. When we are stupid, we are church. No, don't say God. The two or three aren't called the ecclesia, even though they are more than one person. He says, if he fails to hear you, he says, you tell it to the church. The assembly. Now, that assembly can also be two or three. But, it is assembled on purpose. The ecclesia, the gathering of brethren. It's not online gathering. No. Those who come together purposely, for a purpose. So that means the church is primarily those who are called from darkness into light. And then those who, based on that, come together and gather and hold meetings on purpose. They hold what? Can I hear you again? Meetings on what? Purpose. Now hold this down. So the church, therefore, is everybody who is born again. Yeah? But the church ought to also come together. So it's used for the two things. Are coming together in Christ and are coming together with one another to fellowship. And Jesus leaves such instructions. In fact, in the Matthew 28, before he gave that instruction, this is how Matthew captures it, Matthew 28. In 16, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee onto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Notice the word, onto a mountain. Except with Peter, which was, you know, definite, Jesus met with them together. He could have said, stay in your houses, you know, guys, the Holy Ghost is here, alright? Since the Holy Ghost is here, the Holy Ghost is not restricted to any building, hallelujah! So stay in your houses. Christianity is a personal thing. A personal thing. It's not about going to church.
is your heart. So Peter, you can travel to Madrid for Champions League final. Thomas, go to Manchester. No, no sarcasm. He says this one. I will meet you where you are. No. He told them to come to a place. Now, is the Spirit of God not omnipresent? He is. How? Why then does he say, come to a place? In fact, in Luke 24:49, he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you will tarry in the city. He gave them where to stay. You will wait in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now I told you the word till there doesn't mean when you are now endued, you run away. No. We'll see that later on. So, as soon as he said that, what the disciples do? You know what they did? They stayed in one place. Everybody did. They stayed in one place. Acts of the Apostles. Let's see. Chapter 1. Remember, we're looking at how to go and be in a church meeting. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Verse 13. And when they come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, then all 12. Can we take verse 14 together? And they all, with one accord in prayer, and his brethren, in one accord, he says. In chapter 2, verse 1, let's take it together. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all. Now, you notice that the word one accord is used for being in the same place. Let's see Acts 4. Verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with what? One accord. So, one accord is used for the same place. We are in the same place. An agreement. We are in the same place. So, discipleship, carrying out the instructions of Jesus in Matthew 28:19, has to be done in a place. There's a place for it. People do not just go to their houses, oh, we are born again now, thank you, Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all you, hallelujah, brethren, also. That song we used to sing when we were leaving secondary school. You know that song? Till we meet again. I think they now sing it at the burial ceremonies. No. We in government college we sang it at where you are doing valedictory service. Till we meet again. I remember when my seniors, the upper six, they were leaving school. They were very brutal, though. But when I attended their valedictory service, I felt like crying. Oh, they're going. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Now, if you didn't go to government college, you can't understand it. We went to all these grammar schools, you know what I'm saying? No, sorry, let me get back to the word of God. You know, so, they didn't just say, okay, till we meet again, till we meet again, praise the Lord. Then they just jammed themselves at the market. You're a believer. I'm a believer. Oh, bless God. Thank God for our lives, though. Heaven is sure, heaven is sure. Bless you.
It's going somewhere. It's just somebody speaking in tongues, crossing. You have bro? Are you a sis? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hey. And then, he's driving. Then his car hits another person. Ah, what's going on there? Is this a sticker? My case is different because I'm born again. Are you a believer? Yes, yes. Oh, we are S. How ridiculous would that be? They met in one place. You cannot love the head of the church and hate the gatherings of the church. In fact, one of the signs of backsliding is to absent yourself from the garden of saints. It's a sign of a backslider. Oftentimes, when you don't see brethren around, they are like Judas. Where were you? Just taking some time out. Why not take some time in? Just, you know, trying to deal with some things, you know. No. The assembly of saints is not an option. It's an instruction. It's not an option. So, the term one accord means that they were responding positively to the instructions of Jesus. So, in the entire book of Acts, when you read the church, it's a Matthew 18 application. That is the gathering of believers. Are you following this? Let's get back to something again. Jesus equally did not teach the disciples personally. That means when he rose from the dead, he gathered them in a place regularly for 40 days. Acts 1, 2, and 3. He didn't teach them personally. He could have done that. One on one. So it's okay. Matthew, I'll be in your place by 9 a.m. Luke wasn't there. Thomas, 9:30. Peter, okay, let me put you on at 12. And then he goes to the house. So, And then when they all come together, they say, what did he tell you? He told me that the head of the lion that wanted to kill Daniel is the Antichrist. Wow. What depths you have with God. What did he tell you? Well, he told me that the leg of Pharaoh is USSR. Is Russia. But the hand of God is... what insight. Then he goes to John. What did he teach you? I can't tell you. It's very personal to me. He taught them together. He put them in the same place. They heard the same things. And he gave them the same instruction. Or instructions. That's the pattern. Thank God for Bible schools today. Glory to God. I'm grateful for great Bible schools that are a blessing. But you know what? The Bible school ought to be the church itself, the gathering of believers. What's the Bible school? Bible school is where you make disciples, right? You train them in the ministry of Christ. That's what Bible school is. But that's what Jesus said they should do to all nations. All nations. Brother Hagin said this once. Brother Hagin founded the Rema Bible Training Center, which is having an impact all over the world. But he said, if the local churches were doing what they ought to do, he said there will be no need for Bible training centers. Because what the Bible schools are doing is the work of the local churches. That's exactly what Jesus said to be done in the gatherings of saints. We train by teaching, by practice, by fellowship.
by ministering, by instructions. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? So, there cannot be discipleship without a place, a gathering. I tell you, and I've told you many times, if you preach the gospel, somebody gets born again, what is the next thing you ought to tell him? Take him to a gathering of believers. That's the next important thing for him or her. The gathering of believers. That's what he needs next. Not Living Word Media. Thank God for Living Word Media. But that's not the next thing. When I talk to people, I say, where do you fellowship? That's the first thing I ask you. Sir, you have been a blessing to me. You are the blessing of God. In fact, you are the blessing. You are the second, you are the Allos Paracletus. Are you done? Where do you fellowship? Right now, I'm just in the body of Christ. I'll give you the head of Christ very soon. Where do you fellowship? We are believers that you gather with. Together. So, you and I must respect the gathering of believers. It's an instruction, not an option. It's not an option. It's not, oh, Sunday is free. You know, some of you, why you are here is because today is a public holiday. Whether you like it or not, it's free. When I was in the boarding house, it was even compulsory. You go to chapel. You wear white. Did you wear white too? You wear white. I don't know what it meant. Maybe for holiness. You wear white. You have to go. You see through the whole activity. So it's not a big deal. As if you were born into a Christian home, you know what I mean? You will have been going to church. So it's not an option. Is an instruction. So whether there is a holiday to it or not, hear what I'm about to say. Whether the government declares a holiday or not, church gatherings are God's instructions. It need not be Sunday. There are those, I know people who meet on Saturdays. They are called the Seventh-day Adventists. A good number of them are born again, I hope you know. They just believe very differently on some very funny things, you know. But it doesn't matter there. They just believe me on we didn't pick Sundays because God said it must be Sunday. No. We pick Sunday because, well, Sunday is a good day. Sunday is a good day. It's a holiday in most places all over the world. But I know in places like United Arab Emirates, they meet on Fridays. Their Sundays are like Mondays. You don't say, no, I cannot meet on Friday. No way. Never. That is disobeying the Father. We meet on Sundays, and Sunday is a working day. And Friday is their own public holiday. So Friday is their own Sabbath. You better stick to it. So it's not a particular day. The gathering of saints, as we're going to see maybe in the second service, the gathering of saints in the book of Acts was almost daily. There are too many church meetings now. Sunday, 1 hour. That's okay. Is it not just for worship our God, thank Him for what He has done during the week, and thank Him and ask Him to do other things in the next week? I mean, what is it? Just go to church, enjoy yourself, and all that. Which one is midweek service? Which one is prayer meeting? Which one is all that? What's all that for? God is not difficult. We're not under the law. We're under justice. You know, very ridiculous thinking. Let me ask you. When they gather together in Acts 1, see that day of Pentecost, don't you think they were meeting every day? He said they continued steadfastly. That is, they kept meeting.
church meetings ought to be daily. Nothing wrong in that. Nothing wrong in that at all. Nothing wrong in that.
Now, I'm not saying it must be daily.
No, it ought to be daily. There's nothing wrong in that.
Churches coming together,
it's not an option. It's an instruction.
The writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of one another as the manner of some is. That means some people have a habit. They will even forget that it is a church service. Sir, bro, so-and-so. I didn't see the service today. Was there a church service? Today is not Sunday now.
It was Tuesday. Tuesday evening service. Oh, that one. I don't usually attend that one.
You are the people that you are very committed. You are very, you know, but I'll catch up one day. He's mocking you. I'll catch up one day. You know, when I was young, so I was that zealous, very passionate like you. You know, so use all the energy now. You know, it's smelling of backsliding. Some things, when you say them as a Christian, you should be crying as you are saying it.
I didn't come to church.
Some people say, well, I had something to do. As the manner of some is, you can develop a bad habit. So church gathering is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Exactly what Mary said. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not an option. It's an instruction. So Jesus taught them together, alright? He taught them. And so quickly, let's just go over a few things. There are different kinds of meetings, for example, that are used to disciple believers. Different kinds of meetings. I guess in the second service I'll talk about what is Sunday services. In the different kinds of meetings. And as a pastor, if you are just getting to pastor or your pastor, you must know these basic things. I'm grateful to God for Kenneth Hagin, who was able to clear this for me, because I didn't know it as well. I just felt, well, church service, let's just have church service, and then we'll just do many things at the same time. But when he wrote the book, Plans, Purpose, and Pursuits, from what he taught in 1986 and 87 precisely, it was a blessing, you know, to many of us, and we've taken it and studied it and practiced it and even teaching it, you know, that way with a lot of precision as well. So there are different kinds of meetings. And you see it also in the four Gospels. Jesus had those kinds of meetings. The first kind of meeting and the primary meeting is a teaching meeting. So if I'm going to a gathering of believers, the first thing that should be on my mind is that the word of God will be taught. The word of God will be taught. It's odd that we have created what we call Bible study. Bible study is not a special service. Bible study is the service. So the primary meeting is the teaching meeting. As soon as people receive Christ, what happens afterwards has to be teaching. Should happen afterwards. Look at Acts, Luke 24. Jesus, as soon as their hearts were opened to the word, in Luke 24, verse 32 and verse 45, Acts 1, 2 and 3, check it, Acts 1, 2 and 3. Luke says to us that, Acts 1, 2 and 3. Until the day in which he was taken up, after which the Holy Ghost, after that he through the Holy Ghost has given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Let's take verse 3 together.
to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, when they believed, the first thing he did was to teach them. All that he began to do and teach, he taught them. And look at the ministry of Jesus. He taught 3 more times than he healed the sick. You check that out yourself. 3 more times than he healed the sick. The first, teach. That's why what he was known for, Matthew's Gospel 7, 28, 20, 29, he was known for his manner of teaching. They were astonished at his teaching. Nicodemus called him Rabbi. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 2. Rabbi, that teacher. Because he taught. Go and make disciples of every nation, teaching them. Didasco. In verse 20 of Matthew's Gospel 28. To observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Teaching. Acts 2:42. Let's sit down together. They, we read that earlier, those who got saved. Let's take Acts 2:42 together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. They continued. What did Paul say to them in Ephesus? He said, I taught you publicly and from house to house. Acts 20:20. I taught you. I cease not to warn you night and day, he says. I taught you publicly. What did he ask Timothy to do? Commit the things you have heard of me to faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Primary meeting. Teaching. Because you can't have discipleship without teaching. The essence of discipleship is to be taught. So, if there is the more excellent way to prepare for church meetings, prepare to be taught, prepare to receive instructions, prepare to receive education. One. What other kind of meeting do we have? We have prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. So church must have teaching services, which is the primary thing they do. Then they also have prayer meetings. Remember, even though they were sharing food, I'll tell you the reason for that in the second service. They were sharing food a whole lot. You know, to share with those who didn't have. When there was a dispute that saw some sharing of food, the apostles reasoned that we cannot, see that, we cannot leave the word of God and serve tables. You know, 7 tables wasn't wrong, but there's priority. We can't leave the word of God and serve tables. What's your priority? Say, well, in the churches, we meet every time. We eat, we drink, we do this. No, no, no. That's a secondary thing. Very secondary. Very secondary. So I say, well, the way we keep people in our church, you know, because people of nowadays, when it comes to the war, we celebrate people's birthdays a lot, you know, we have hangouts, we hang ourselves, we eat, we drink, we just do those things. Yes, so we teach, or we do. In the Sunday services, we do teach, yes. 45 minutes of real teaching, we give it to them all. But you see, you have to also understand with people. People, you now have more. Have you noticed that if you say prayer meeting, we want to pray at Shagam. So people say, want to have a 3-day prayer meeting. Say, God is everywhere. But when you say your grandmother died, and they are burying her, she has died, though. She's not dying, though. They are burying her somewhere. You say, okay, are you picking cloth? Is that not the way to say it? Are you picking? What are we wearing? So I'm getting married. Where are you getting married? Have you seen people fly? Say, their dream wedding. They say, do it in Dubai. People start doing it in mass.
See the dream wedding. So they say, want to, and they'll go anywhere. They say, we are going to pray. What now? What? You see people go to their training programs for their companies, far places out of Lagos, where they say, we are going to have a special prayer meeting. This is too extreme. Can't we pray on the phone? Lada, lege, loge, laga. Glory, hallelujah. Can't we do that? Is that how you run your company? They say, well, the next set of Nigerian soldiers will be trained online. All the police will be trained online. So just say, let me teach you how to hold the gun. Hold it like this. Hold it like this. No. Praise the Lord. Are you going with this? Teaching meetings. Prayer meetings. When last did you come here to pray? I'm talking to you. No, I pray during the service. I don't think you heard me. You came for a prayer meeting. If you see a Christian that does not attend the church's prayer meetings, that's an unserious Christian. Because discipleship involves prayer. Jesus in Matthew's Gospel chapter 17, he took Peter, James, and John to a mountain apart to pray. Same thing in Matthew's Gospel 26, to pray. You cannot have discipleship without prayer. Do you know, he didn't say, let me tell you what people think prayer is. He didn't say, guys, there's a problem. I said there's a problem. What's going on? Do you know that we planned 1 million naira to buy a property? The landlord of that place. Where is that, my lord? That place just near Jerusalem, that portion of land. Where they used to build the new covenant in Christ Jesus tabernacle upon the resurrection. Somebody's going to buy. We have to pray. Let's go. No. He just took them to pray. No prayer point. Do you know the prayer point of Matthew 26? You don't know it. Because if you reduce prayer to praying for your personal material needs, you have wasted the art of prayer. So, prayer meetings. That's why in Acts 3:1, we just read Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in prayer. In Acts 3:1, it says, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. When? In the hour of prayer. That means a church. Now, hour doesn't mean 1 hour. Hour just means in the time allocated for prayer. That means a church should have what? Time for prayer. Anything that is taken seriously must be given time. You don't just pray unconsciously. Time for prayer. In the early days of Saints Community Church, do you know our pre-service prayer time? Now we are doing 30 minutes. Why are we doing 30 minutes? Because we have other times we are praying. Who knows the usual pre-service prayer of Saints Community Church in the early days? Who can tell me? Huh? 1 hour. Sometimes we do 2 hours. That means normal service. Before we teach. And we didn't have second service, so it was second session. So we start like 8, we finish like 3. Church service, oh, not WCCO. I'm telling you, why would you not attend prayer meetings? So you think coming to church is Sunday morning? No, you are wrong. The man said this and I agree. He said a church real attendance is at their Bible study and their prayer meetings. I think it's prayer meetings. That's the real attendance.
So when he said there was a problem with discipline of fruit, the apostles said, no, we will not leave the word of God and serve tables. They put the priority. We will give ourselves continually to prayer, Acts 6 and 4, and to the ministry of the word. The local church is built on prayer meetings and teaching meetings. That's a local church. Before you start having sisters' day, brothers' hangout, cousins' afternoon, mother's morning, father's night, before you start doing aimless, sometimes aimless, I'm not saying those things are always aimless, but sometimes aimless, not all the time, but before you start doing those kind of things, what about your prayer meetings? What you should work hard is people praying and hearing the word. That's what you should work at as a pastor, as a Christian leader. So, two things I must be ready to do in church. One, come on everybody, one, be taught the word. Number two, pray.
It's not church. Church is not where you replace your emotional feelings for Beyoncé songs.
I saw a sister talk about, I won't mention her surname. There was a song she was listening to.
You are my strength when I was weak. That's by Celine Dion.
And she was crying. In my presence. She said, I wish I can sing this for the Lord Jesus. I said, sing it now.
Baby, baby, baby.
So sometimes, you just, that's just what you are doing. No, you are a disciple. Oh. Disciples do not tell us, they don't tell Christ what to be done. They are obedient.
Peter and John went up to the temple in the hour of prayer.
Do you know the times of prayer in your church? When you read in the bulletins, you just ignore it. That means you are not responsible. You should be there. In all my life, and I'm having more years to live, every time I had to join a church, every time that I had to join a church, I always joined their prayer departments. There is no church I belong to that was not an active member of their prayer departments. There's not one single one. I'm always there.
There's no reason. Why would you must go to church to hear the word and to pray. And that prayer is not praying for what you want. It's praying to be trained of God. Primaries.
That's what you're praying about. A praying as service. Why some of you don't attend prayer meetings is because it's not exciting. They say prayers for nursing mothers. Prayers for career breakthrough. Prayers for Champions League final.
You see people praying before football game. Nigerians mostly. And they will lose. When they lose, they now say, Lord, we thank you for your will was done. You see the kind of players you put on the pitch. You see the opposing team. And you say you want to pray. It's prayer to reduce number of goals. It can't be prayer to win. Win what? Anyway, that's by the way.
So, do you attend your church's prayer meetings? Are you there?
So, if you do not go to church to hear the word and to pray, why are you going? What are you going there to do? Are you going because there's nothing to do on a Sunday morning? What are you going there? If you're not going to be taught and not going to pray, what do you go there to do? So we have prayer meetings. I'll take two more than I've emphasized more in the second service. We also have what you can call the evangelistic meetings. And basically, those ones are not done in the church meetings. They are done by the church in the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15, 16. Acts 8, 4. They went everywhere and preached the word. What Peter and John did in Acts 3 is an evangelistic meeting. You also have what you call the believers meetings or the Holy Ghost meetings. Very typical of the Acts 2, 1 to 4, where believers come together and then they have the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration through all believers. The utterance gifts, the revelation gifts, and the power gifts eventually. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, I'll open more on that in the second service. We have such meetings. So, why do I go to church? I go to church to be taught. I go to church to pray. I go to church to also be inspired to reach the world. Then I go to church to have the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration so that believers are edified through me. I also go to church, I'll close here, to interact with other believers and fellowship with them. So, I must know how to go to church. When I'm going to church, I must know a difference between going to the stadium to watch a game and going to church to be a disciple. How did you come this morning? Why did you come? He said, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Look at the word steadfastly. So church gatherings require steadfastness. Something you do all the time. So all the time, I'm coming to learn the word. All the time, I'm coming to pray. All the time, I'm coming to flow with the Spirit of God. All the time, to be inspired to reach the world. All the time. It's not like a mall. You know, you go to a mall. What are we doing today? Guys, what do you think we should do today? Okay, let's just go down and buy some stuff to eat. Then we'll go up, buy popcorn. Then we'll go to the movie, watch something, the theaters. And then when we're done, we could just swim there. And when we're done, we just do horse race. No. That's not church. That's fun. You know, let's go leisure. But this church is no. We come to hear the word. I come to pray. I come to minister to other believers. I'm a minister to. I come to interact with believers. To provoke ourselves to good works. Hebrews 10, 24. That is church. That's why you come. The second service, we look at how to come. How? Some people don't know how. They don't know. That's why you find a person coming to church with no Bibles. Ask him, what was he coming to do? Do you know, it becomes very odd to go to a service without a Bible. You know, it's very odd. And then, have you ever attended business meetings before? If you have, or call it brief. You know, oftentimes people go with notes. They take notes. Sometimes they go with their, maybe their devices to take notes of what is being said. Why would you go to church without something to put down what you are learning? What were you planning to do there? Dashing and dashing. It's not a mall. It's not a movie. It's not a theater. It's church. Where you ought to sit where? At his feet. To be trained. To learn. To be taught. You have to develop the right attitude. See, I'll close by saying this. The fact that something is a common practice doesn't make it right.
doesn't make it right. The fact that a majority of people could be seen to be doing something doesn't make it right. Church has not changed its nature. It hasn't changed its culture.
Neither should we.
You learn something?